This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everybody. If you're just joining us, we're going to be with Brenda Davis here this morning. We're going to talk about blue crabs and blue crab management. Brenda is the blue crab project leader, I believe is what the official title is, but she's known in DNR as the crab lady. Good morning, Brenda. Good morning, Brenda.
Good morning.
How are you? Are you known as the crab lady?
I think I am.
You are to us. This is why your third visit with us, I guess, right?
Yes, it
last
is.
Couple years, indeed. Yeah. Well, as you know, we published a little magazine called Maryland Loves Crabs, and you and your team have been very instrumental in helping us out with getting the information to the public, especially the new stuff that people are dealing with, the new recreational regs and the crab pot private peer registry type of thing. We're trying to get that news out there too. We'll talk about all that stuff. But the main question, as you probably hear 50, 60, 80, 100 times a day, where the heck are the crabs?
Well, this year they're somewhere else besides Chesapeake.
Yeah, that's kind of the answer we're hearing. That's kind of the answer we're hearing. We're hearing they're up and down the coast. We're hearing they're elsewhere. But this isn't the first time. It might be the first time in recent history, but this isn't the first time our crab population's been at a low level, is it?
It is not the first time.
No. Not since I've been here in 30 years. I mean, we were talking about this 20 years ago, a decade ago. It's a fluctuating situation. One of the folks in DNR told me one time it's like managing bugs, like insects that crawl on the bottom of the bay,
which is slightly harder than herding cats.
Exactly right. Yes, yeah. Exactly right. So
the recruitment or the number of small crabs that we get into the bay is very variable. And there's a lot of environmental factors that play into it.
Well, people, first thing they have to probably understand is the life cycle of a crab. You know, we have a massive migration of female crabs here in the fall when the water starts to get cold. Want to talk about that a little bit?
The mature females that are up the bay in the Maryland mainstem and the tributaries, once they mature over the summer, migrate in the fall south.
Right.
So that in the spring, when temperature and food availability is at a good level, they're in a situation to produce an egg mass because the egg masses need higher salinity to survive and larvae need full-strength seawater.
Right. So they're basically at the mouth of the bay where the salinity is higher. They're in a little bit warmer climate, and that's where the bulk of the hatching takes place, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So then there's like three stages of baby crabs before they even are recognizable. Those crabs then all the little tiny crabs will have to migrate back up the bay, grow, shed, mature to the point where they can be harvested.
Correct.
Now, you said environmental factors. We had an incredibly cold winter, but we've had incredibly cold winters before. We had a major hurricane in the fall of 2012, Sandy, that if anybody recall, and another storm prior to that right around this time of year that you know, we had a massive influx of fresh water into the bay. I mean, we remember the bay full of logs and debris when they opened the floodgates at Conowingo. That certainly wasn't helpful to the blue crab population with all that influx of fresh water, correct?
Correct. All of that has had an impact of some sort.
Right.
And led up to where we are. The cold winter, overwintering mortality affects the larger crabs far more than the smaller crabs.
Right.
We didn't even have our worst overwintering mortality this past winter, but we did lose about 30% of our adult population.
Right.
But the bright spot is that we had a 78% increase from 2013 in our small crabs. And we are starting to hear in areas that crab harvest is increasing, and that is that bunch of small crabs growing up big enough to get harvested.
Right. So the shed, maybe you can tell our listeners, how many times during the course of a summer do blue crabs shed?
It depends on how big they are.
Okay.
The small ones shed fairly frequently.
Okay. More often than every full moon, as we tend to hear.
It could be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Total, their crab will molt about probably 30, 25 or 30 times to get to legal size.
Okay.
A mature female has a terminal molt.
Right.
And once she becomes mature, she puts her energy into producing eggs and doesn't
right.
put it into growth.
That doesn't put it into growth. She's a hard crab forever. She can, once she's bred, she can produce eggs and she can produce multiple sponges.
She can, yes.
In other words, she's bred once, but she can shed eggs several times.
Yes.
So that one mature female crab, once she's bred and produces that first sponge, she is still viable for producing more offspring.
Correct.
Okay, so that she may produce 4, 5, 6 broods of baby crabs.
Right.
Okay, so there.
You know, like, nobody is sure how many.
Yeah.
But for sure, you know.
Yeah.
2 or 3, and if they survive the winter, there, you know, there could be 1 or 2 more.
Okay, gotcha. All right, now that we've got that pattern down, and then let's say one more thing. You said they shed 25 or 30 times as they grow until they're a harvestable size, and then that shed tends to slow down a little bit. But they can gain 30% of like about a 25 to 30% increase in size at each shed.
Correct. Yes.
So a 4-inch crab now, once it sheds, is now a 5-inch crab, or maybe a 5.5-inch crab. So a 4-inch crab a month ago grows out of its shell. The shell sloughs the shell, and now it's a harvestable crab.
Right. So 4 inches to just about 5, or it could be a little larger.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And then definitely the following shed. So we're in that period right now where those crabs, what we're seeing and hearing about in some areas of the bay, that were small crabs earlier and had to be returned, are now at that point where they're in the bay where they're just about harvestable, or they are harvestable now at 5 1/4 inches. Five and a quarter inches.
It's 5 right now. It'll
right.
be, it goes to 5 1/4 on Monday.
Right. Exactly. So that's where we are. That's where we are status-wise in the crabs right now, and of course they're going to continue to numbers will continue. I mean, they're not all the same size. They are going to continue to grow, but there will be enough of them soon to be harvestable, and hopefully we'll have Maryland crabs in the later part of the mid to later part of the summer and into the fall.
Yes,
which is kind of typical, and especially when we have a winter like we've had. Yes? Or don't we blame it on the, or are we done blaming it on the winter? Is it just a natural thing that's working for us here?
It's a combination of both. The winter, you know, lowered the abundance more than it would have been.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we were hearing, you know, the guys out there that were oystering were bringing up dead crabs and that type of thing. I mean, you know, it just is what it is.
And the harvest for the first half of the season has been slower than typical.
Yes. Yes, indeed. We've heard, you know, horror stories from the watermen, and rightly so. You know, put out 200 pots for a bushel of crabs, put out 300 pots for a bushel and a half, put out 600 pots for three bushels. I mean, it's, you know, it's, that's kind of been what I've been hearing all year from all over. Now, you know, you get into some of the parts of the bay, Chrisfield, some of the places. Some of the crabbers are doing better than some of the other crabbers. Some of the picking houses on Hooper's Island, for example, some of them are doing better than others. And that could be because of their contracts with their crabbers. You know, the crabbers might be doing something different. One guy might be doing something different than another guy. He might be set in a different spot than another guy. And again, we keep that, you know, that bug thing crawling around on the floor of the bay. In mind, these crabs are going to go to where they're most comfortable. And one day, one guy might load up, and the next day, that spot might, you know, they might have moved somewhere else. Or they're a highly mobile species, correct?
Correct. And, them being patchy is not unusual.
Patchy, yes, exactly right. Yes, that is a good way to put it. It's a patchwork abundances of crabs are not covering the entire bottom. They do seek out comfort zones where there's enough oxygen, enough food, enough cover, whatever makes a crab happy, that's where you're going to find them.
Right.
And that may be different tomorrow than it was today.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So there's a lot of factors involved, and managing that highly mobile, fragile to some degree, species that is dependent on salinity, some degree temperature. You've got predation. You've got harvest. You've got all types of factors going in to the pursuit of the blue crab because, quite frankly, they're a valuable resource. That makes your job just a little bit trickier than working on an assembly line, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
Yeah.
So it would be nice if just simply increasing the number of female crabs in the population did the trick.
But
one small part of a very big picture.
And that's what we hear. We hear that from the watermen, you know, and we hear it from other people. Why don't they just close the season on sponge crabs? And we'll talk about that when we come back from our first break. Hang in there with us, Brenda, and we'll tell the folks about some of our sponsors, and we'll be back with more with Brenda Davis in just a few minutes. Time for me to tell you about Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. Hunting season's right around the corner. You want to check them out for all your archery equipment. Kodabo crossbows, Parker crossbows, compound bows, custom cut arrows, all the accessories. They'll tune your bow. They've got a bow tech on hand. They'll cut your arrows for you. They have broadheads and anything you could need for archery. Make sure you check that out. Firearms, great firearms from Browning and Thompson Center and all the major brands, shotguns, rifles, and handguns for home protection, self-protection, and hunting as well. All the ammunition to go with it. Why not stop by Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. You can always call them at 410-242-6108 or check out the website, Clyde Sports. That's C-L-Y-D-E-S-S-P-O-R-T-S. Lots of S's in there. ClydeSports.com. Phone number 410-242-6108. And if you're a fisherman, you want to check out the fishing report, the fishing hotline 410-247-3474-247-FISH. Hey, you know, summer's time for picnics, family get-togethers, and camping trips. Summer's corn on the cob and steam crabs and fresh tomatoes. Summer is cold, juicy watermelons. Oh, man, you just can't beat fresh produce and fruit in the summertime. The Schillinger family at Papa John's Farm likes to steam their crabs with their corn on the cob for a great family dinner. Hot corn with crab spice on it. If you enjoy your time outdoors with great-tasting food, head to Schillinger's Papa John's Farm in Severn. At their enormous produce barn, their own tasty, super sweet corn. Oh, I've had that. That is so delicious. Homegrown tomatoes, also delicious on a sandwich. There's squash and zucchini. peppers, onions, green beans, red beets, cucumbers, you name it, they've got it. Mouthwatering cantaloupes and sweet, sweet watermelons, too. Papa John's Farm, located off I-97, exit 12, 60, I apologize, 8065. That's 8065 New Cut Road in Severn, if you're going by GPS. 410-969-8810. Papa John's Farm is open every day, Monday to Saturday from 9 to 7, Sunday 9 to 6. That phone number again if you want to get a big wagon load of corn for a big kind of feast, 410-969-8810. Visit Schillinger's, Papa John's Farm. It'll grow on you. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and last longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner. It's time for the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat motor and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. New this year is an invasive species award for those catching blue catfish, flathead catfish, and northern snakeheads. And check out the new Maryland Youth Fishing Club and the Youth Angler's Log to learn how your youngster can win a guided fishing trip. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland Citation size fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify. So stop by your local fishing citation center, check the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Angler Award Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, hey, it's Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end, hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island, go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. Custom-tied bucktails and trolling lures for rockfish, and all you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573. 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, drive home with me, Sean Hannity, Monday through Friday from 3 to 6 here on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We looked down a river and we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating on the drum. They stepped so high and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside our cotton bales and didn't say a thing. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Old Hickory said we could take them by surprise. If we didn't fire muskets till we looked them in the eye. We held our fire till we seen their faces well. Then we opened up our squirrel guns and really gave them well. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming.
That's enough. Tired of the British kept a-coming. We're talking about crabs here. But it sounds like the March of the Crabs up. Doesn't it, Brenda? Sounds like the March of the Crabs up the bay in the springtime.
It definitely could.
Indeed. All right. So we had the Chesapeake Bay Blue Crab Advisory Report come out the end of last month. Tell us a little bit about how that came about.
The Chesapeake Bay Stock Assessment Committee is a group of scientists and fisheries managers bay-wide.
Okay.
That go over the winter dredge analysis every year and review those numbers. And each summer they issue their advisory report.
Right. And how does this year's vary from last year's?
Well, interestingly enough, our abundance of crabs is about the same as it was last year.
Okay.
Except last year it was made up of mostly larger crabs, and this year it's made up of mostly smaller crabs.
Okay.
So that influences their suggestions for the management strategy.
And now this is not something new. These folks have been meeting for years doing this, so probably about 15, 16 years or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, and so they do this, they look at the numbers, they look at the data that's collected in the dredge survey, and they work their magic, their models and things like that, and then they come up with suggestions and ideas and things like that. What? Tell me a little bit about the population of the Maryland blue crab, the abundance and size and that type of thing.
Our overall abundance is right about 300 million crabs bay-wide.
Right.
And that includes Maryland, Virginia, and the Potomac River.
Bay-wide, okay.
The majority of that number this winter was smaller crabs.
Okay.
So the CBSAC recommendation was, despite the fact that we have been at or below our harvest rate target, which is 25.5% of the spawning female spawning stock.
Right.
That we take some measures, some what they would call risk adverse measures.
Okay.
And add some additional protection to our current spawning stock as well as the spawning stock that will grow into the fishery.
So in other words, be proactive in reducing the number of female crabs rather than reactive.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Yes. So what are their recommendations then?
They do not make specific action recommendations.
Oh, they simply say this is what needs done.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. All right.
And then it's up to each of the jurisdictions to determine how they would like to go about achieving those reductions.
So that's achieving the reduction means a reduction in harvest of female crabs?
Correct, yes.
Okay. Do we have a game plan for Chesapeake Bay, Potomac River, Virginia? I mean, what's our game plan? Do we have anything specific yet?
Virginia's commission met in June, and they are lowering bushel limits. They are going to be prohibiting the use of certain gears in the fall and closing their season at the end of November.
So they're closing their season pretty much a month early?
Yes.
Okay.
For Virginia, yes.
For Virginia, okay.
Yes.
Now, I also heard they had restricted the peeler harvest a month on the front and a month in the back. Is that correct?
They did not specifically address peeler harvest, but they restricted the use of gears.
Oh, okay.
Beginning September, mid-September, the only allowable gear will be hard crab pots. So that eliminates the use of peeler pots and scrapes.
Which means that the smaller crabs can escape from the larger crab commercial crab pots that target bigger crabs.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're just trying to get to how they're helping the population, and if they're using gear that allows the smaller crabs to escape, then it's like a different size gill net. You can only target certain size fish. In other words,
right. Okay. So if someone catches illegal size peeler in a hard crab pot, they can still harvest it.
Right.
But the odds are it will be a bigger peeler, and they probably won't catch as many.
Right. Okay. I got you. Okay. So that's Virginia. Potomac River doing anything specific?
Potomac River has area closures in the fall.
Okay.
And they are increasing the length of those closures by 12 days. They're starting 6 days early and will be ending 6 days late. And they are looking at possibly implementing some bushel limits, but that hasn't been determined yet.
Okay. And what are we doing on the main Chesapeake here in Maryland?
We are still talking with our industry groups to come up with a final plan.
Right.
But more than likely, there will be some bushel limit reductions.
Okay.
For vessels that harvest with two commercial licenses.
That'd be the 600 pot group.
Well, if in Maryland, if you have two commercial licenses on the boat, well, actually, no matter how many licenses you have on the boat, you can harvest two limits, bushel limits of females.
Okay.
So if you, no matter what your license type, if you are harvesting two limits, there'll be a reduction in the number of bushels you can keep.
Okay. All right.
We are also going to be lowering our bushel limits in the spring, in April of 2015. And there is, we're talking about matching the ending season date with Virginia and Potomac River. But none of that has been decided yet.
Okay. All right. Well, so tell me again when that's going to be decided, or what's going to happen with that in Maryland?
We should have that information in early August.
Early August. So we're a month away from figuring out what we're going to do in the fall season. Is that?
Yeah, and the bushel limit reductions would take place September through November 10th. When females close, and that's when Maryland has the majority of their female catch.
Right.
That happens during that month.
In the fall, sure, always. Okay. We have a caller. Actually, Tom in Towson thinks he heard you say the crab population is 300 million and wanted to know if he heard correctly on that or not.
Yes, he did.
300 million. But
right.
it's made up differently than it was last year. 300 million was last year was. Go ahead.
Last year's 300 million. The majority of them were larger crabs.
This year they're smaller crabs.
This year it was smaller.
Okay. Now since we're at that number, last year there were larger crabs. The harvest. What do you recall the harvest last year?
Last year's harvest was one of the lowest on record. And I hate to say a number because I don't remember exactly.
Okay, are we gonna beat that on the low side this year?
I don't know.
Okay, good answer.
Yeah, it depends a lot on what happens this fall.
Yeah, of course. So it was one of the lowest harvests on record, although it wasn't the lowest population. And was that because there were restrictions put in place prior? Or guys just quit, or didn't start early, and couldn't start early because there were no crabs early, do you have a determining factor on how that happened?
Well, because of the very low recruitment abundance last year, Maryland instituted bushel limit reductions.
Right.
That resulted in a 10% reduction in harvest.
Okay.
In order to get that, some of the bushel limits were reduced by as much as 30%.
Okay.
So I'm sure that contributed to the decline. But our decline in harvest between 2012 and 2013 in Maryland was about 30%. So there it was more than just those bushel limit reductions.
Okay. All right. Brenda, hang on there. We're going to take another short break, and we'll be back with Brenda Davis, the Blue Crab Project program leader, correct?
Correct.
All right. Right after this. Time for me to tell you about the Maryland Fishing Challenge. That's right. Fishing Challenge is underway. 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge, now through Labor Day. All you have to do is go fishing. Diamond Jim is a tagged rockfish worth $20,000, and he's swimming in the Chesapeake just waiting to take your bait. Now, Diamond Jim has lots of imposters out there, too, but they're even worth $500. You catch a rockfish with a bright green tag, you call that number on the tag, you might just have captured a $20,000 prize. That's right, $20,000, and if you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab, which is 9 inches point to point, and certify that catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify for the Angler's Award, but only one species of crab, and that's a Maryland blue crab. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. Stop by your local fishing citation center. Check the fishing rule book or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Citation Fish Program. Again, that website, www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky?
Big dip in the jet stream is going to bring in the threat of showers and thunderstorms as we make our way into Monday and Tuesday. And some of those storms could be strong to severe. Mix of clouds and sunshine today with a pop-up shower, 88. Partly cloudy tonight, lows tonight near 70. An isolated shower or storm during the day tomorrow. Tomorrow's high, 92. Monday and Tuesday, showers and thunderstorms are likely. Some of those storms strong to severe, low and mid-80s. Richard Duetta at the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Mike Weinstein. The outlook for the economy is lukewarm, according to the latest poll from the National Association of Business Economics. Jack Kleinhens of the NABE tells us that one issue that most of those surveyed can agree upon:
the probability of a recession in 2014 or 2015 is less than 25%, and that was thought to be the case by more than 90% of our respondents.
Overall forecasts for consumer spending and export growth have been dialed down a bit, but some growth is still expected. We watched stock and lumber liquidators yesterday following its warning that customer traffic in the latest quarter was much weaker than expected. The rest of the year also looks pretty bleak, and lumber liquidator shares tumbled 22% on that news. The rest of the market was lower yesterday, but we could be in store for a bounce back today with NASDAQ futures up 10, S&P 500 futures up 3. This follows European markets, which are higher so far. Asian markets were mostly lower. Tokyo stocks fell a third of 8%. This is the Wall Street Journal Report.
What if you could reverse diabetes? Well, there's a special free video you need to watch. Diabetic11.com. Diabetic11.com is a natural, drug-free approach to reversing diabetes with remarkable results in as little as 4 weeks. In this free video, Diabetic11.com gives three specific actions to get your blood sugar under control. And the best part is the main ingredient is a common spice found in most kitchens. Watch the free video for yourself right now at Diabetic11.com. That's Diabetic11.com.
Paying too much for mediocre cable service? Cut the cord, cut your expenses, and get unmatched TV technology with Dish. Dish is much better and costs less. Get the most movies with Blockbuster at home free for 3 months. Premium channels free for 3 months. Free HD for 2 years, and get a free DVR. Watch live TV anywhere with your computer, smartphone, or tablet with Hopper. Call right now and get a free Hopper upgrade. Hurry, this limited time offer won't last. Call 800-553-4751. 800-553-4751.
It's the number one overnight radio show in America. Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
And you can hear it every morning from 1 to 5 on the most powerful names in talk. Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And WCBM.com.
Hey, we're back. We're back with Brenda Davis, the Blue Crab Program
Manager.
Yes. Mine went blank there for a second. Thank you, Brenda. Let's talk to Steve in Baltimore, has a question about fishing and crabbing license. Go ahead there, Steve. What's up?
Call. It's been a while since I've been fishing or crabbing, but I was walking along by the harbor, not the inner harbor, but on the outskirts, and there were a number, large group actually, of Hispanics that were fishing and crabbing, and I asked them if they were catching anything, and they said, yeah, they were, and I asked if they needed a license, and they said, well, they didn't have licenses in Spanish. I was wondering, is that true? Do you offer or do you not offer licenses in Spanish for them, and are they exempt if you don't?
They are not exempt from buying licenses. There is a fair amount of legal crab harvest you can have unlicensed. You can harvest with hand lines and get 24. But for any fishing activity, you need a license.
Absolutely. Yep.
They had cages and lines, and they said they were exempt because you didn't offer them in Spanish. Wait.
Hold. Let's back up there, Steve. Hold on just a second. What you just said, they claimed that they were exempt from fishing and crabbing licenses because the state did not offer them licenses in Spanish.
Right.
We are not Mexico, South or Central America. Last time I checked, Maryland was the United States of America. Our language, official language here, is English, if I recall.
No, I agree with you. I was just wondering,
and
if they provided information for them in Spanish.
Brenda?
There, we are increasing our bilingual information, and they can get help if a licensing service center, if they need explanations or whatever, they can get the information they need.
Okay, so the state actually, contrary to what they said, actually does offer material, literature, and whatnot in Spanish?
There is some published information in Spanish, but I'm not sure exactly how much. But if there were questions that needed to be answered, they can go into a service center and they can get the information they need.
Steve,
they're not
asking the questions.
Yeah, I don't think
they're not even thinking about getting a license.
Yeah, I doubt that if all the information was provided that they would necessarily go for it. They believe they're exempt, so you know, maybe that'll change.
Well,
if you run across a situation like that again, call NRP.
Simply call the NRP cops and have them sort it out. And tell them they need a Hispanic interpreter to show up at such and such a location. And trust me, if you do it while you're talking to them, they will know enough English and they will leave. If you've called the NRP police, no question.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Steve. Thank you. There you go, Brenda.
Yep.
Hey. Got a call from Tad on Kent Island. He wants to know how long you expect recovery to take if all the things that you implement are successful.
Well, that's another really good question. And there's no way to know because of the just inherent variability within the blue crab population. But we are actually, I believe, in a better situation than we have been in the past. Because, like you said earlier, we have been at these low levels of abundance before.
Right.
But that was prior to 2008 when we had a way to reduce harvest. We've been very successful since we changed our management strategy to lowering that harvest reduction rate. It has been at or below the target for 6 consecutive years.
So, despite the fact that, the complaints are statewide that there's no crabs and, the guys didn't soak their pots till June and, middle of June and nobody's catching anything and that, the management strategy will eventually work is what you're saying.
Hopefully.
slightly more difficult than herding cats, I think, is what you said. Yeah.
Given the environment, the correct environment.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Well, okay. I know where you're going there. Given the ideal circumstances, you know, everything will be great. But let's keep in mind that environmental factors will continue to plague us. We will continue to have storms. We will continue to have freshwater influxes. We will continue to have dead zones in the bay with warm temperatures. We'll continue to have algae blooms that suck the oxygen out of the bay. We'll continue to have every challenge imaginable, and more so, maybe, no matter what you guys do. And until we have a good recruitment or a series of good recruitments, we're still going to be facing this for a little while, maybe a couple of years, maybe a decade. But this population of crabs has the capability to recover in a very short period of time.
It does. And so with this management strategy, we never said that there was a guarantee that this was going to keep abundance of blue crabs high continuously.
Right.
What this does is improves our odds that when we get down, we don't stay down for a long time.
Right.
Like when we got in this hole from 98 to 2008, and we just couldn't get out of it.
Right.
We should not. That should not happen under this management strategy.
Okay. All right. So you're hopeful.
I am hopeful.
As a crab manager, you're the crab manager. You're hopeful that we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train coming the other way.
If conditions are favorable, we could be back to average abundances next season.
That's good. That's a good thing.
It's a great thing.
That's a great thing. That's a better.
I'm
better
ready
than
for
good
it to happen.
You're tired of getting beat up, aren't you?
I am.
I'm sure the whole management team is tired of getting beat up. But you've got an industry there that is highly dependent on. I mean, it's like farmers. You know, if it's dry, there's a problem. If it's too wet, there's a problem. If it's too hot, there's a problem. If it's too cold, there's a problem. I mean, it's just a variable thing. And you're dealing with an ecosystem like the Chesapeake Bay that is very complex, very complicated. You're dealing with a highly migratory species that is affected by all those things that we've talked about. And you guys are doing your best to manage it. And nobody has the answer because you're working with the people in the industry. You're working with the watermen. You're working with the seafood wholesalers. You're working with the people that study the biology of the blue crab, their movements, their habits, there are also a prey species. I mean, let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about other than environmental factors, other than let's say the weather, you have predator species out there that eat these things.
We do. Most
other than us, other than humans.
Right. And most of that, striped bass has gotten a really bad reputation lately for being the demise of blue crabs.
Right.
And they certainly are opportunistic feeders.
Right.
But all of the published studies that we have indicate that, yeah, they do eat them, but they're probably not the game changer. And striped bass are, although they fluctuate as well, are a bit of a constant, and we've had crabs when we've had striped bass in the bay.
Right. Right. I talked to a captain yesterday who has all the commercial licenses. He crabs, he fishes, he does everything. He charter fishes, he's commercial, recreational. I said, have you ever caught up with a rockfish and found blue crabs? He said, I've cut up in rockfish and found fiddler crabs that they picked up off the oyster bars. He said, not a lot of blue crabs. And this fellow's in the upper bay. Not a lot of blue crabs. He said, I've seen some with little crabs in them, but not a lot. And I said, do you believe that the striped bass is the main predator on blue crabs? And he said, no, I do not. And I've been doing it 30 some years. So, you know, you get that type of report, and then you get the reports from the guys that say, oh, yeah, they're full of them and this and that and the other thing. But you're saying they're not the game changer. There are other now, granted, you get a shed or a slough or whatever you want to call it, and those soft crabs are out there, like you said. They're opportunistic. I mean, if I were a fish, I'd be eating soft crabs every day.
Everybody loves soft crabs.
Everybody loves soft crabs. Not just rockfish, but cow nose rays and red drum and other crabs. I mean, you know, there's the cannibal component. They'll eat each other.
Correct.
You know.
Correct.
So you've got to figure that, too.
We don't have nearly as much data on things like cow nose rays and blue cats and red drum. We don't get many of them in the Maryland portion of the bay very often. We don't have great data on their impact on the blue crab population.
Well, I can tell you this. If you put a piece of peeler on a hook and you drop it overboard in the Chesapeake Bay, something's going to eat it.
That's right.
Seriously, whether it's a black drum, whether it's a red drum, I mean, the bait for black drum is soft crab. Yeah, you just cut a half soft crab or whole soft crab, put it on a big hook, lower it down there in the mouth of the chop tank in June, and hopefully you'll get a big red drum or a big black drum. But, you know, anything eats peelers, including catfish. You know, and you said blue catfish, the Potomac River loaded with blue catfish, and, you know, who knows how far out into the bay those blue catfish will forage for crabs, but, you know, they eat gizzard shad, they eat white perch, and they eat blue crabs and other things. So they're also opportunistic. So you mentioned blue catfish, red drum, cow nose rays. Watermen just can't take cow nose rays. They hate them. I mean, they eat clams, they eat everything. So, well, let's put it this way. There's a lot of predators out there, including us on the blue crab. We got to take a break. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. If you're going crabbing, Clyde's has everything you need for crabbing. Any kind of pots, I mean, you know, crab traps, even the open-top crab traps. They've got the steamer pots. They've got the seasoning. They've got the trot lines. If you need it for crabbing, they've even got the bait. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, headquarters for crabbing right here in Baltimore. Give them a call, 410-242-6108, 242-6108, or stop by 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. For Clyde Sports Shop, visit their website, ClydeSports.com. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
7890199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
I've got the blue crab blues. I'm as blue as I can be. I've got the blue crab blues. I'm as blue as I can be. 'Cause every time I look around, someone's trying to catch poor me.
All right, Blue Crab Blues. That was for Brenda. Let's talk to Dale in Easton. Good morning, Dale. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, Ms. Davis. How are you?
I'm doing good.
All right. Question on mitten crabs. You know, a couple years ago, that was the hot item. What's the status of them?
I have not heard much on mitten crabs or heard about many being caught.
Yeah, that's kind of what I had heard. It's sort of a all of a sudden they popped up and then after that, we just haven't heard much about them.
And hopefully they decided this was not a good spot to be.
Yeah.
Maybe the doubleheads ate them.
Well, they caught a ball, too.
Yeah. Both of them.
Yeah.
So. No mitten crabs. Yeah, we did that last year, I think, in the Maryland Loves Crabs magazine. We talked about mitten crabs. And I haven't heard any reports. I haven't seen any more pictures or anything else. So that's a good thing.
That is a good thing. That is a good thing.
Yep.
All right. Well, hang in there, Brenda. It'll get better, Dale.
All right, Dale. Thanks, right, buddy. See you. Yep. Dale and Dale used to. You guys used to work together in the department. I know that. So that was nice to hear from Dale this morning. So
yeah.
Brenda, you have about 20 seconds. Any final words?
It's not all doom and gloom.
That's a good way to leave it. That's a good way to leave it. Yep. Well, we know you guys have as much of a handle on it as you can possibly get. It's a matter of concern to the department. You got a lot of groups out there you're trying to please, from commercial watermen to seafood wholesalers to restaurants to the end user, the guy that pays $65, $75, $80 a dozen for the large blue crabs and likes to eat them. So